Last time I did this was in the old building, and I think we had about 30 or 40 people probably. So this is big time. Let's have a word of prayer before we start. Lord, we thank you for your love for us, your love that was so great that you gave your son for us. We pray that as we look into your word this morning, that it might be pleasing to you, that you might be glorified. We pray that Jesus Christ might be honored. In his name we pray, amen. The topic that I was given this morning, or asked to speak on, was godly relationships. And I want to start with Hebrews 10:25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This verse is often used to lay a guilt trip on someone who's not attending church regularly. But a wise man recently pointed out to me that this verse isn't limited to church services. We've come here this morning gathering ourselves together, hopefully for Christian fellowship. If we attend a small group, we're gathering ourselves together. Incidentally, that wise man was Pastor Steve. I just woke him up, I think. But what's the purpose of gathering ourselves together? The verse says that the purpose is to exhort one another. Have you exhorted anyone lately? Quite possibly you have and didn't even think of it as exhorting. So what is exhorting? Sounds like a pretty heavy, solemn term, doesn't it? Well, it can be correcting a friend who has gone astray, and that's important. But the English Standard Version of the Bible translates it as encouraging one another. And I believe that's the intent that Heath and the Men's Ministry Committee have in sponsoring these breakfasts and providing venues for us to come together and find friends among our Christian brothers. How many friends do you have? I understand that you might have 532 friends, more or less, on Facebook. But how many of those friends would recognize you if they passed you in while you were shopping at Costco? I also know that you have many acquaintances that are friendly toward you. But I would suggest that if you have one or two true friends, that you are a blessed man. So what is a true friend? Proverbs 17:17 tells us a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. In other words, a friend sticks by you in all circumstances, but especially in adverse circumstances. A friend's always there to exhort you, to encourage you. And my question is, do you have such a friend? In the Song of Solomon 5:16, the young lady says, "This is my beloved, and this is my friend." For those of us who are married, I'm sure it is our wives' desire that we be their best friend. If that's not the case, then that's the relationship that we need to work on first before we seek other friends. But we also need male friends. We need male friends for examples and for encouragement in living a godly life. Each of us can be an example, and each of us needs an example. And again, that's the desire of the men's ministry team, that we develop godly friends, and where better to find godly friends than among our brothers here this morning. Proverbs 12:26, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. I think the obvious conclusion to be drawn from this verse is the fact that a righteous man chooses another righteous man as his friend. In fact, James 4:4 exhorts us as follows, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." So let's look briefly what friendship looks like. The Bible gives us many examples, and I've chosen just three. First, friends are loyal to one another. When we think of friends, I think in the Bible, probably the first pair that come to our mind are David and Jonathan. After David had killed Goliath, 1 Samuel 18:1 says, "As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." Perhaps these were very young men at the time. You remember David was a shepherd. Perhaps that you have childhood friends like that who have been with you forever, and you just like each other. That's what a friend should be, someone that you like. At times, men become instantly friends, like Jonathan and David. More often, it takes time to know and appreciate each other. I have one friend from college who, the first time I met him, I didn't like him at all. But we learned that sometimes our first impressions of people aren't the best impression. Second, friends are available to each other. Because they were brothers, we might not think of Moses and Aaron as friends. Moses told the Lord, you remember, that he was slow of speech and that Pharaoh would not listen to him. And the Lord had told Moses that he was going to speak through him, but Moses was still reluctant. So the Lord actually became angry with Moses, and he said, "Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well." That's Exodus 4:14. So we see that Aaron gladly accepted the responsibility of being Moses' spokesman. As a side note, after I wrote my notes here, I asked my wife to read them, and of course she approved of them. She's easy. But I said, I think I can write a lot better than I can speak. And she said, "Well, why don't you have Aaron speak for you?" Notice that I said friends help each other. Friends don't impose on each other. They're always seeking ways to help their friend. Such was the case. Next, a friend can be a mentor. This is especially true of an older man and a younger man who are friends. Such was the case of Elijah and Elisha. In 1 Kings 19:19, the Lord instructs Elijah, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel Maholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. In 2 Kings 2:9, as Elisha knew that the Lord was going to take Elijah from him, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken away from you." And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And we further read that the Lord granted Elisha's wish. The point is that our friends should be someone that we admire, even to the extent of wanting to be like him. Finally, we see the greatest example of a friend is Jesus Christ. As he was teaching his disciples in John 15, he tells them, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." I would also ask, are you a friend of Christ? He laid down his life for you. And he says, you're his friend if you follow his commands. First, in 1 John, echoes what he has learned from Jesus in chapter 5, verse 3. He says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome." Do you ever think that if you're serious about keeping his commandments, that it's going to be a downer on your life? It's just the opposite. Jesus said that his commandments are not burdensome. So, do we love? When I say you, I'm talking about myself too. I'm not talking to you. Do we love Christ to the extent that we consciously attempt to keep his commandments? I think that's something we all need to think about every day. So let's sum up our thoughts about godly friendships. First of all, we're commanded not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, whatever that assembly might be. It's not necessarily church on Sunday morning, although it certainly includes that. In Matthew 18:20, Jesus promises, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." When you're with your friend, whatever you're doing, if you're fishing, if you're skiing, whatever you do together, if you're having coffee, do you consider that there is Jesus among you? That's the reason that we have godly friends, that we together might glorify God. Then we're to exhort one another, whether correcting ungodly behavior or encouraging good godly behavior. That's what true friends do. And the latter is a lot easier to do, is to encourage people, right? It's kind of hard when they're off course to confront them. But I think if you've been confronted, you will realize that that's what true friends do. Then a friend is someone who sticks with you in good times and especially in bad times. In bad times is when you really need that friend. Then if your wife is not your best friend, make her friendship your first priority. I'm sure that several of us here can testify that no other friend will be so rewarding as your wife. And that includes your family. If you're going to sign up to go fishing or whatever it is you're going to sign up to go, if you have children, take your son with you. Let him see what Christian friendship was like. Then the righteous are particular about the friends that they choose. Men of this world are not your friends. They're friendly sometimes, but they're never going to be your true friends. And friends are loyal to each other. Jonathan even defied his father Saul because he knew that David was more righteous than his father. Friends make themselves available to each other. Aaron spoke God's word to Pharaoh when Moses did not feel adequate. Friends are for giving to, not from getting from. What can you do for your friend? We all have our own we all have things that we do better than our friends do. And we can help our friends in those areas. Then a friend can be a mentor. Elijah was appointed by God to mentor Elisha. If there's someone here today that would like a mentor in your Christian life, look around and find somebody that you think would be able to mentor you. I'm sure that that man would be honored to mentor you. Finally, there's no greater friend than Jesus. If you're without a friend, remember that he gave his life that you could become a son of God. What more could a friend do for you? Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the love that you had for us, that you gave your son to die for us, that we might have salvation, that we have the hope of looking forward to being with you for eternity. Lord, I thank you for each man here. I pray for the needs of each man, that they might find a blessing here this morning in the friendships that we have here. We pray for each one that they might seek out a true friend, that they might be able to share their most intimate thoughts with. We pray that those friendships might glorify you, that they might bring honor to our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray.